Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. Gonna get the lyrics soon?
No, it's just her theme song. It's Lawyers, Guns, and Money. It's got the lawyer word in it. That's about the only word I can find.
Well, it does ring true when you think of Chantal Deloge.
Oh,
she's a fairly
yes.
intimidating person.
Yep.
She's probably packing heat right now, I think. Chantal Deloge. Her practice encompasses every possible area of Canadian citizenship, immigration, and refugee law, such as business class applications, skilled workers, family sponsorships, work and study permits, refugee cases, citizenship applications, plus appeals and Bueller. Judicial reviews.
Bueller.
Bueller. Man, you do a lot of stuff. Thank you for coming into the studio, Chantal Deloge.
Thanks for having me.
When was the last time you actually went, woohoo, because you won a case? Actually.
Oh, this week. This week I did that twice. Actually, on Valentine's Day, I got a positive judgment on a case where this guy had been fighting to bring his wife to Canada for over 4 years. So they've been married for 4 years, and due to some health reasons that he had, he couldn't go and visit her at all during those 4 years. So he literally has not seen her since he left for the honeymoon. And it was quite a battle. It took, like, the hearing went for 8 hours. I had to call every witness in my book. And finally, at the end of the day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we got a positive decision. And then I actually received it in the mail on Valentine's Day. So that was like, the
cool.
best gift.
Very
best.
Cool. Man, I hope his honeymoon was amazing.
It had to last four years.
4 years. Holy cow.
Was it a country that you typically get challenges from, or was it just a different, unique situation? Or?
It was both. Primarily, the difference was they had a huge age difference. He was a lot older than she was, and that's
like
a red
Frank
flag.
And Kathy Lee Gifford difference?
I don't know, but it was like about 30 years.
Yeah, that's about right. They were 25, so yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not unheard of for those things to happen,
but
right?
The bells go off, right? They think, what do they think, trafficking or something? Or do they?
No,
think?
I think they thought maybe she was taking advantage of him. I think maybe they thought that it was some kind of scam that they cooked up just to let her come here, maybe for money or something. I'm not sure what their theory was, but they really had a love story. It was a really sweet case. I actually had their pastor testify as one of the witnesses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. It was just a great moment. They were so sweet. Even her daughter, she had a daughter from a previous marriage, and her daughter testified as well, and she was just so cute. Like, I could eat her up. She was adorable as a witness. Really cute.
Wow.
Yeah.
So cute helps.
Yeah, cute definitely helps.
That's why you and I are out of luck.
Good thing we're already in the country.
Yep.
Remind me not to call you as a witness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we'd be the warning part.
That's the end of that interview. Okay, the other story, because you said you had a couple this week, right?
Yeah, well, it sort of, in a way, was a bit of a love story. It was a guy who had gotten himself into a bit of trouble, you know, through his own actions with immigration. And we were sort of trying to get them to let him stay on a compassionate basis because he now has a wife and kids, and all Canadians. So it was, again, a real battle because, you know, once you get yourself into trouble with immigration, it's very difficult to get yourself out of trouble with them. So it was a long battle, but the day after I got the Valentine's judgment, I actually got this other judgment that he was going to be allowed to stay. And it was wonderful because he has two adorable kids, and his wife, who, you know, she was innocent. She's never done anything. And she's a real sweetheart, too. So very happy.
What happens when you get a case and, you know, you're trying to, they say, look, we want to get so-and-so into Canada. And you get the case and, you know, it's all legit and everything, but they're jerks. What do you do?
That does happen sometimes. I mean, the one thing that I wish it was possible to have is like some kind of like a personality test for immigration.
A jerkometer.
Right, exactly. It used to be actually that when they selected immigrants, there was a certain number of points that were accorded for what they called adaptability. And that's where they would sort of look at the person and think whether they would blend into Canada. Like, are they adaptable? Are they motivated? Do they, you know, show upward mobility? That sort of thing, right? But they don't have anything like that. The criteria are so objective. So you could be, you know, a PhD with perfect English, you know, wonderful job skills, and you could be a total jerk. But you would qualify, whereas somebody with a really, really sweet heart with less qualifications may not.
Mm-hmm. I just read an article recently, I think it might have been yesterday, that said something about, it was a no-brainer, actually. It was like all the other articles I was reading today. Like one article said, teenagers that smoke marijuana are dopey or something like that. I was like, really? No kidding. But it was like, there's no guarantee of anything when you hire somebody who's not a legit immigration lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was an article.
Yeah.
I thought,
It seems self-evident,
yes,
doesn't it? But in a lot of cultures, it's not. In a lot of cultures, lawyers are not necessarily on the up and up. So there are some countries, I've been to some of these countries before, where a lawyer is just, you know, you pay them an amount of money and whatever it takes to get the job done, including bribing people or going under the table or threatening people, that's what they'll do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people from other countries don't necessarily understand the, you know, high level of professional and ethical integrity that lawyers in Canada do have and how we're different from people who are unlicensed, for example, and just doing this for money as a business.
Well, I was going to say, and that's got to be your number one pushback, because everyone, look, let's just say it like it is, to hire a lawyer costs money. Like it's an expense. It's a big, you know, can be a big expense.
And a gamble on some levels too.
Sure. So if you're going to gamble X amount, then you want to make sure you're with the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you just said would suggest, yeah, why would you waste your money on some schmo beside a shoe store?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a couple of things. First of all, an immigration lawyer isn't as expensive as a lot of people might think. The average case for us would go somewhere between $5,000 to $7,000. That's
nothing for a lifetime in Canada.
Exactly. I mean, and also, I mean, if you think how it's going to affect your life and your kids' lives and your grandchildren's lives, it's a huge decision. I mean, if you were really sick, you wouldn't go to the cheapest doctor, you'd go to the best doctor.
Yeah.
So you got to pay for that kind of quality. And, you know, a lot of people out there that are running around without any kind of license whatsoever are asking at least that much and sometimes more. But what they're doing is they're selling a fake bill of goods. They're saying, oh, well, if you give me $10,000, I'll get you like this fake job offer letter or whatever, and we'll get you into Canada. And, you know, then the people get caught. And who gets in trouble? It's the client. It's not the guy who pulled off the scam. He disappeared a long time ago.
What about people, you know, I've asked you this question many times on the show before, and so let's just cover it again, because I know there are a few groups in my mind that are listening that really need your service. So number one, there's the ministry out there, and they're like, oh, you know what, Steve from Australia is a great worship leader, and we want him to be here at our church, or we're looking for a pastor, and we found this guy in Scotland who'd be amazing, blah, 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 blah. How do they get him here? Give me top three things they need to start doing now.
Well, first of all, there are exceptions in the law for people that are involved in ministry work, whether that's Christian ministry or it could be Muslims or Hindus or whatever it is. People who are going to be engaged in spiritual leadership of a congregation. So that doesn't necessarily only mean a pastor. It could mean a worship leader or something else, like a youth leader or whatever.
But it's got to be ministry. Like, it can't be like the janitor for the church.
Exactly. Exactly. So there are exceptions for people involved in spiritual work. And it's not that difficult. You just got to make sure that they have a clean background. I mean, it doesn't go without saying necessarily that someone wouldn't have a criminal record or anything like that, because people do all kinds of things in their life before they find the Lord, right?
Or during.
Yeah, exactly. So we can't make assumptions, but assuming that they have a clean record and they're properly qualified for the job that you're offering them, it's not that difficult actually to bring them over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, did you give me three things?
I don't know.
She's the lawyer, just trust.
Okay,
she said
Luke,
Jim,
things.
I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician.
Wow, dropping a little Star Trek reference
nice.
There. Well done. You need a more gravelly voice.
Yeah, sorry.
Spock! Anyway, what was the other group I was thinking of? Oh, so obviously, you know, Toronto is, according to the UN, last thing I heard, was the most multicultural city in the world.
You're welcome.
What do you mean you're welcome? Oh, yeah, because that's your deal. Wow.
She did it.
Wow.
That's the third thing.
So, so we've got a lot of people here who are from somewhere else, and they want family members to come here and live here because family together is awesome. But it can't be all family members, can it? It can't be like the second and third cousin. It's got to be who? Who can they get here?
It's a very restricted list, actually, and a lot of people are surprised how few relatives you can really sponsor. So you could sponsor your spouse or common law partner, your parents, your grandparents.
Not the mother-in-law, though, please.
Yeah. Some people pay me to, like, make sure that they're left
screw
off.
Screw that file up.
Yeah, here's an extra couple bucks.
You can sponsor your children, but only if they're under the age of 22 and unmarried. Okay, so as soon as your child turns 23, that's done. They're considered to be independent. They have to qualify on their own.
Okay.
You can sponsor children that you've legally adopted. But yeah, that's pretty much it. One of the gaping holes in it, I think, is that you can't sponsor your siblings. So if
what?
If I have a brother or sister, I can't sponsor them. There's no legal way. The only thing is that if they apply on their own qualifications, they get a couple of extra points because they have a Canadian sibling, but that's the only concession that they get.
That's really
okay.
Surprising.
I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that. Mm-hmm. People who aren't related to you can get in, but blood, there's a restriction? Like, is there a reason for that? Did someone drop the ball or?
No, I think it's just that, you know, Canada Immigration, when they're looking at these policy decisions, they're trying to figure out who has the best chance of being able to make it economically in Canada. And they found that people tend to support their parents, they tend to support their kids and help them. But siblings, it's not always necessarily the case that they successfully manage to establish, or you might not necessarily go that far out of your way for a brother or sister the same way you would for your kids. I mean, okay. I imagine that's what they were thinking. I disagree with that. I mean, you can do it. And it's one of the ways where the American system is actually more generous than the Canadian system.
Really?
Is that they do allow you to sponsor siblings, and we don't. I think it's terrible. So they have to qualify on their own or not at all.
Okay, the third group of people that I imagine listening to our show are those from the United States of America who look at the White House and go, and they want to come up here.
Yeah.
It ain't as easy as people are making it out to me. Oh, I'm moving to Canada. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in almost every way, American citizens are treated exactly like citizens of any other country when it comes to Canadian immigration.
Right.
So, like, it's not an advantage to you being American any more than it would be if you were from India. So, except if you fall under one of the NAFTA exceptions, which is really just for work permits primarily. It might be a little easier for you to get a job in Canada. But otherwise, you still have to qualify like everyone else. You have to be, like the system right now, their ideal candidate is under 35, as highly educated as possible, university for sure, even better if it's master's or PhD, with at least 3 years of work experience and perfect English, even better if you have French.
Well, you know how many Americans that eliminates right there?
How many Canadians that eliminates?
No, I mean just mean the perfect English.
Yeah.
That's like everyone from Alabama.
Let my children's go.
That was an earlier reference in the show. Never mind. All right. You know what would be good? It would be great if there was somebody else who could toot your horn rather than you doing it. Because it's not Canadian to just go, I'm awesome, right? It's not.
Exactly.
Do you know of anybody else who could tell us how awesome you are?
I actually have one of my clients agreed to be interviewed today because in the theme of your show, the love stories, he's sponsoring his wife and I'm helping him do that.
It's happening now?
It's happening right now.
And the person's name?
Aaron.
Aaron, are you on the line right now?
Hello.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Fantastic. Aaron, this is a great love story. Dude, what's going on? Why aren't you guys together?
We're currently trying to go through the process, immigration, just waiting for the papers to be finished.
Are you confident that it'll work out, or are you a little scared?
No, I'm absolutely confident, because I know I have Chantel and her law firm backing me up. Plus, I have, you know, God on my side, and like that verse says, when you have God on your side, who shall you fear?
Yeah, well, maybe fear Trump a little bit, but yeah. So yeah. Where is your wife?
She's in Dominican Republic.
And how did you guys meet?
I have a friend that has an organization called Light to the Nations. He's there for a mission trip working and helping kids. And so my wife worked for him, and so I met her that way.
You know, I don't think that's what they had in mind when they were talking about a mission trip, you know, going down and, you know, changing everybody down there and getting them.
Just to be clear, she's not a kid.
No, that's not what I meant, sorry. that's funny. So you went down, worked at this mission organization, you met one of the ladies that worked there, you kind of decided, ooh, I like this girl, and away you go, you're having a relationship. Yeah, wait, are they married?
Mm-hmm.
When did you get married, Aaron?
A year ago, November 22nd.
And are you allowed to go there to Dominican?
Yeah, I have been a couple times to visit her.
And but she can't come here at all.
No.
She needs for a visit?
She needs a visa, and in order to get a visa, you have to show that you're going to go home after the visit. So if you're married to a Canadian, it's not impossible, but it raises suspicion for the officer.
Sure, why would you go home if you're married?
Exactly.
Yeah. So is there, now this might throw Aaron under the bus a little bit here, but I need to know the truth behind this. Would there be a better way for Aaron to have done this? If he had done X, Y, Z, then he wouldn't be in this situation.
No, he did everything right. I mean, when they decided to be engaged, I think he told me about it even before they got married. So I was able to guide him as to what paperwork we would need, etc. So he started getting ready really early. He got ahead of it. He knew that there was going to be an issue, and he made sure that he planned ahead. They gave me everything that I asked for. They've been wonderful about it. I mean, short of marrying a Canadian, there's nothing that he could have done differently. But you love who you love, right?
Yeah. So is it harder for Aaron to bring his wife here because she's from the Dominican? Would it be easier if she was from Scotland? I don't know why I keep mentioning Scotland, but...
Yeah, so not really. I mean, the sponsorship process, if you marry someone from abroad, is exactly the same no matter what country the person is from. The only difference in that case is that if you were from Scotland, you wouldn't need a visa to visit. So, you know, if the person was from Scotland, they could just get on a plane and come over as a visitor and, you know, spend some time and then go back.
Is that the Commonwealth thing there at all? Or
Not exactly. There are lots of Commonwealth countries where you do need a visa for Canada. Oftentimes it depends on whether there's a reciprocal agreement between the two countries. And also it depends on the degree to which you have illegal immigration from that country.
Right.
Like if there's a higher likelihood that the person might not go home because of the conditions in that country, there might be a visa requirement.
Aaron, dude, why you got to be falling in love with a girl from the Dominican, man? Come on.
I know. Obviously, I didn't plan it, you know. When I first met her, like at first, I didn't think anything of it. But then, you know, it was just trusting in God, and it was God's will, and fell in love with it.
Man. Well, listen, I wish you the best for that. Let me just tell you, I want to know the follow-up to this story. I want to know when this thing happens. As soon as you get the news, Aaron, you remind Chantel that that radio guy, that irritating radio guy, wants to know the rest of the story. He wants to know when this is a reality, because I love a good love story, and this is awesome. Yeah. Aaron, were you nervous about coming on the radio?
Yeah, I was a little bit.
You know, it's just the Drew Marshall Show, right? You know that, right? It's just us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a big deal.
It's just us. Aaron, I wish you all the best with this, man. Thank you for being brave enough to come on the radio and share your story. And I'm, you know, obviously I got to say this, but it's not that obvious. You do have the right person in your corner. I mean, I'm talking about Chantel, not God. I mean, God too, but.
Both will work.
Yeah. That's. Thanks, Aaron. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye, Aaron.
Bye.
I love this story, man.
Isn't he cute? I'll show you some pictures of them after the show.
Whoa. Well, I don't know if I want to get that involved.
Not those kind.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any of those.
What was that other story with that long honeymoon? Chantel, someone out there is listening. I know they are.
At least one.
And they're saying, yeah, you know
and
what?
They're probably in Scotland. That's the thing.
I just got an email from or a message from Ireland. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so they're listening and they're like, yeah, we need to contact Chantal Deloge. So they go to deloge.ca. They find the phone number. Ring, ring. What's the process?
Well, so first of all, I should say that our internal mission is that we deliver legal services with love. My personal mission is to deliver services to show people the love of God. So we really try to, every step of our process, infuse it with that background vision of caring. So, you know, we have our receptionist answers the phone, a really nice young educated guy. He will make sure that the person gets connected with the right department because there are all kinds of different immigration, right? So you have economic-based immigration, you have, you know, litigation cases where people are appealing and things like that. And then you have like family-based or personal cases. So we make sure that it goes to the right department and then they book a consultation. So the consultation, you do have to pay for it. It's $300 and you sit down with one of our lawyers for usually 30 to 60 minutes to talk about your case. It can be done over the phone or by Skype because by definition, many of our clients aren't in Canada.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yet. So we walk you through everything. We diagnose what the problem is, identify what solutions are possible, because most people don't realize there's about 80 different kinds of immigration programs, both temporary and permanent. Yeah, there's many. So we have to sort of process of elimination, narrow it down to like one or two. And let you know how does that work? Like, do you qualify for it? What are your chances? How much is it going to cost you? How long will it take? All those logistical issues. And at the end of it, if we feel that you probably will not qualify or that there's no hope for you, we will tell you that honestly so that you don't waste any more time and money on a hopeless case.
So I've had many other lawyers advertise in the show. You're the one I trust the most.
Thank you.
I can smell your integrity as you're walking down the hall before you even got here.
It's a nice smell. You don't get us wrong.
Eau de integrity.
De the cape.
My Chanel.
What a pleasure to have you back in the studio again. Thank you very, very much. Chantal Deloge, of course, many of our listeners know. She's been with our show for a long, long time, and she's become a good friend as well. DeSloge.ca. That's where you need to go. Well, that is the end of our show. This is the end of our show. What was that, Tiny Talentine?
Tiny Talentine, yep.
If you missed any of today's show, just follow us on our Facebook or Twitter or Instagram accounts, and we'll let you know when all the interviews from today's show are loaded onto iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia, and our website, of course, drewmarshall.ca. Thank you for tuning in. I can't remember who's on next week, but I hope it's good. Bye. I'm swearing.